This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. We're ready to study together again the Gospel of Mark. Last time we took up some introductory material in the book. Today we're going to look at the first verses of the first chapter. Before we do, however, some comments by a writer by the name of Mr. Wise. Few parables are included in Mark's gospel because he's not interested in disclosing some theological or messianic message that would demand the use of parables. Very few central characters are seen in Mark outside of Christ and his disciples. Most of these are those who came to Christ for healing. Mark is the gospel of deeds. The master is pictured as a strenuous worker hastening from one task to another. Now let's read the first four verses of this book and begin to catch the impact of this gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and Ken Brooks is reading from the New American Standard Bible.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ready the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
You can see from these four short verses that this is the gospel of deeds, and no long introduction. He writes of the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of a continued story, for as the book closes, we have the thought of action continuing. Let's just for a moment turn to those last pages and read the last verse in the book. That's Mark 16, verse 20.
And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed.
And so this is the book that begins with action, has action in it, and that action reaches beyond the book even to the day in which we live. The gospel continues to go out, and he continues to work with those who proclaim it. We talked about some scarce items in the book. We'll also note some things that are completely missing in the first verses and chapters. We have no genealogy such as we find in Matthew and Luke. We have no account of the Lord Jesus' birth or the coming of the wise men. All of these speak of his royalty. In Mark, the emphasis is on the Lord Jesus as the perfect servant. People do not usually study the family tree of a servant. However, Mark in this very first verse makes one thing clear. He says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mark makes it clear to all that the deity of the Lord Jesus, the deity of the Savior, he is God. John the Baptist is mentioned next, a man coming to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. John Mark's comments are brief and to the point. It's the briefest account of John the Baptist that we find in any gospel. John is spoken of as a voice. The emphasis is on the message and not the man. Notice that message in verses 7 and 8.
Mark 1, 7 and 8. And he was preaching and saying, After me comes one who is mightier than I, and I am not even fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
John the Baptist, the greatest of the prophets, points to one even greater than he. John said that he was not even worthy to do the work of a servant and untie the thongs of the sandal of the Lord Jesus. Still speaking of the things greater John spoke of his own baptism being of water, but that the Lord Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. John wanted the people to look away from himself to the Lord Jesus. Now let's notice the next three verses, Mark 1, 9 through 11.
And it came to about in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.
We have the Trinity here, the triune God, the three persons of the Godhead. The Son of God in the water was being baptized. The Holy Spirit descending like a dove. The Father speaking from heaven. I like the way the Living Gospels gives that statement of the Father. And the voice from heaven said, You are my beloved Son. You are my delight. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was always a delight to his Father. And next we have just the briefest account of the temptation in the wilderness. One writer, Harold St. John, comments, God had one son without sin, but he never had a son without testing and trial. Through his temptation or provings, he entered into the mysteries of hell, of earth, and of heaven. After that great hour at the Jordan when the heavens were opened, we've come to the days in the wilderness, a time of proving. Mark alone of all the gospel writers mentions that the wild beasts were there in the wilderness. This gives an added dimension to the testings. Mark doesn't list the temptations, and he considers it unnecessary to state who was the victor. Yes, the Lord Jesus was victor that day. He won a stunning victory over Satan. Three times he said, It is written, and quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Let's look at two more verses before we close our books today. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15.
And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
John the Baptist came on the scene, did his work, and now he passes off the scene. He completed his work. There was none born of woman greater than John the Baptist. That was the Lord Jesus' testimony concerning him. And now we see Jesus only. What was his message? Repent and believe. Repent, have a second thought about sin. See the wrongness of it. Change your direction. Do an about-face. So much preaching today says nothing about repenting, nothing about changing the direction of your life. Repent. Believe the gospel. Believe the good news. We urge you to do the same, and salvation will be yours. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
All my way, I yield my taketh me through pain. I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall at my head. I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in just my glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, like that shall end.